So once we work with our client or patient to see the role of avoidance in their anxiety disorder and to see the costs of that, perhaps they have a little bit of motivation or a little bit more motivation to want to shift toward a mindfulness-oriented approach. And a mindfulness-oriented approach is going to involve, instead of finding ways to not feel anxious, finding ways to increase our capacity to be with and experience anxiety as a passing phenomena. It's also going to involve beginning to learn how to step out of the thought stream. That doesn't mean blocking, suppressing, or stopping thoughts, but it does mean training our attention to be able to pay attention to something other than the narratives passing through our minds. Now, many of you, I'm hoping at this point, are somewhat familiar with mindfulness practices. If you're not, let me suggest a resource for you. Check out my website, which is www.mindfulness-solution.com. Because one of the things that's very important in using mindfulness practices in psychotherapy is for the therapist, him or herself, to already have some personal experience of these practices and to really have a sense of how doing mindfulness practices affects the mind and affects the body. Because if we don't really have a good reference for that in ourselves, it's going to be hard for us to understand how to optimally guide our patient or client in working with their own mindfulness practice. So, mindfulness is awareness of present experience with acceptance. Mindfulness practices are techniques or exercises that we engage in order to cultivate mindfulness. And when we do these practices and begin to cultivate mindfulness, we learn how to stay with the moment-to-moment kaleidoscope of sensations, images, thoughts, and emotions that are arising and passing in consciousness continually. The important thing about this for working with anxiety, there are two parts of this that are particularly important for working with anxiety. One of them is that by stepping out of the thought stream, by regularly redirecting our attention to bodily sensations, to the sensations of the sights and sounds of the natural world around us, to the changing emotional landscape inside, and to even noticing things such as our attraction to certain experiences, our aversion from experiences, to notice the arising and passing of impulses, all of these interoceptive and sensory attunements that happen with mindfulness practice are going to be very helpful in working our way out of our anxiety disorders or helping our patients to work their way out of their anxiety disorders. Because so many anxiety disorders, of course, have to do with thinking. They have to do with worrying about the future, or they have to do with avoiding, with trying not to feel things. So that if we are able to train the mind to be able to not identify so much with thought and to be able to be with this kaleidoscope of sensory experience, we're much less likely to get trapped in an anxiety disorder. Now, when a patient takes up mindfulness practice, particularly if they take up a form that has a lot of interior focus, such as sitting and following the breath, oftentimes they get quite alarmed. Because what happens is, as we begin to attune to what's happening, we become even more aware of tension in the body, more aware of how busy the mind is, what in Buddhist circles is called monkey mind, where it feels as though there's a monkey inside of our heads going from window to window to window, jumping around frenetically. And seeing this amount of agitation, seeing this amount of unrest in the mind, often is hard for folks, and it leads them to stop, and they say, this isn't for me, I'm not a mindfulness person. So it's important when introducing these practices to folks, number one, to help them to understand that they're likely to experience more vividly just how scattered and frisky the mind is, rather than to feel calm at the very beginning. The other thing that's helpful is to start with an exercise which isn't too challenging, and we'll talk about what some of those are shortly. It's very important to normalize the experience of craziness that comes up when we start to pay attention to what the mind is doing moment to moment. We want to help people to be kind to themselves, to be compassionate with themselves, and to try to relax the tendency to condemn myself thinking, gosh, I'm such a bad meditator, I'm so crazy, I'm so anxious, I'll never be able to do this well. Now, sometimes people start these practices, and because they're, for the first time often, beginning to bring their attention out of the thought stream and into the present moment, they start to get a calming effect. And they may take to this effect. In other words, it could feel like, finally, I found a natural benzodiazepine, a way to feel at peace, a way to feel so less conflicted and less agitated. And that's fine if that's how it begins, but we don't want folks to get hooked on that because, again, our ultimate goal here isn't so much figuring out how to get calm. It's not actually about stress reduction. It's about increasing the capacity to be with anxiety so that we don't get trapped in an anxiety disorder. So what are good practices to start with if somebody's very anxious? Well, oftentimes when we're anxious, we pace. We see this, you know, people pacing outside of the waiting area if their loved one is in surgery. We see people pacing when waiting for other kinds of information that could be emotionally upsetting. And since we pace when we're anxious, we do that because it's anxiolytic. It discharges a little bit of the tension in the gross muscles of the body. So one possibility for starting practice with somebody who's very anxious is to do walking meditation. Other forms of informal practice are also quite useful. By informal practice, we mean practices that can be done in the course of daily life. So eating meditation, to simply decide to have a meal silently and to bring the attention to the taste of the meal and to eat slowly enough to be able to actually taste the food, is another nice way to begin for somebody who's struggling with a lot of anxiety. Listening meditation, to simply sit quietly, in other words, without a lot of activity, and attune to the sounds around us, is a nice one. One of the nice things about listening meditation is when we're listening, it feels as though we're not particularly active in the process. It feels like a receptive process to listen, as opposed to walking, which feels much more like we're doing it, or even breathing that can feel, if you're anxious, as though you're controlling the breath. So listening meditation helps to cultivate this attitude of receptivity. And again, you can get instructions for listening meditation at the Mindfulness Solution website. Now, however we begin, chances are a highly anxious person is going to start feeling anxiety before long in whatever form of mindfulness practice they're doing. And here it can be helpful to begin to have certain phrases just to create a sense of containment or holding for the experience. One nice one is simply descriptive, to say, this is fear. Fear feels like this. Or fear is not permanent. Or even fear is not me. And just to use those phrases, again, not to stop the anxiety, but to contextualize it so that we can, in a sense, hold the anxiety as a mother holds a child, or as D.W. Winnicott talked about, having a holding environment in psychotherapy. And by doing this, we learn to be with the experience rather than identify with the experience. So let me suggest now an exercise, and this is adapted from the Mindfulness and Acceptance workbook by Forsyth and Eifert. That'll be in your resources. And they call this Leaves on a Stream. And it's a very nice little visualization exercise that can really help people to begin the process of mindfully being with the whole kaleidoscope of inner experiences that arise. And it goes like this. I suggest doing it with the eyes closed, and first instruct your client to adopt an alert and dignified posture. And if this is sitting in a chair or sitting on a meditation cushion, a nice instruction is to suggest a string tied to the top of the head, gently elongating the spine, allowing us to sit up straight in an alert way, but also in a relaxed way, not a rigidly straight spine, simply an awakened spine. And with the eyes closed, you can spend just a few moments following the sensations of the breath. And whenever you give instructions, particularly to anxious folks, about breath meditation, it's important to say that this is not a breathing exercise. We're not trying to control the breath in any way. We're not trying to regulate it. This isn't diaphragmatic breathing. But rather, we're simply using the breath initially as a sensory experience that we can attune to and use as simply something to be aware of with acceptance in the present moment. And once a person's been with their breath for just a few minutes, and you don't want to extend that out very far because that becomes difficult for anxious folks, suggest to them that they imagine that they're sitting next to a stream on a lovely autumn day. And as often happens on autumn streams, leaves are beginning to drift down. And these leaves come in many different forms. They come in different shapes and different sizes. Some are red, some are yellow, some are brown. The full autumn experience. And then suggest that as you sit and follow these leaves, imagine that a thought or feeling that arises, that you can take this thought or feeling and simply place it on the leaf and watch it float away. And wait until you see that leaf receding in the distance. And then take another thought or feeling, the next one that comes along, and place it on a new leaf and allow it to recede into the distance. And just continue to do the same with each thought, feeling, or perhaps impulse or image that arises in the mind. And allow a person to do that for, maybe 10 or 15 minutes. We don't want to do it too long with somebody who's new to these kinds of activities, just to get into this idea that what I'm going to do is allow inner process to unfold as it will. I'm not trying to control it. I'm not trying to stop it. But I'm also letting it go and beginning to get this experience of stepping out of the thought stream by simply being an observer of the thought stream rather than identifying with it or participating with it. And after doing that for a while, you can suggest that the person opens his or her eyes with the intention of accepting whatever arises in the rest of the day.